very sincere gratitude for being in this auspicious.
Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta.
The Supreme Lord has personally certified this fact that wherever my devotees gather to chant my names, I make my presence in that place.
Machchita madgata prana bhodiyanta parasparam katiyanta shtamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha.
Krishna tells who his devotees are. My devotees, they take great satisfaction and bliss coming together and discussing my topics amongst one another.
Hari katha, discussion about Krishna, chanting the glories of Krishna, is the life and soul of the Vaishnavas.
In fact, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that this hearing and chanting about Krishna is the food grains that gives nourishment to the hearts of the devotees. If we do not eat proper food, we will become very weak and ultimately die. In this regard, I remember in 1974, Srila Prabhupada was at New Vrindavan. He was gazing with such deep love in his eyes at the beautiful forms of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. For a long time he gazed at the form of the Lord. And all of us were trying to understand what he was seeing. And then he spoke. He said something that very much astonished us. Would you like to hear? He said, Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra are most beautiful. They have appeared just like the most beautiful American boy and girl, just to attract all the American boys and girls. And he explained how he was so very pleased of the worship of Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Actually, in those days, the devotees took great pains to worship the deities. The community was in greater poverty than most places of India, although it was in the middle of America. There were no toilets. Do you remember Bhima Prabhu? You had to climb down valleys and up mountains just with a shovel. And winter was so much snow, like Badrik Ashram. And food. There was practically no food. At one time, for lunch, we were eating boiled horse food. And the management called it upma. It was actually a big bag saying horse feed with pictures of horses eating it. And as far as clothes, if you asked for new clothes, they'd say go to the clothes bin. Clothes bin was a big box in a barn, in a goshala. And all clothes, because this goshala in this house was over 100 years old, it was just what everybody just threw in this place that they didn't like, and it was usually covered with moss and sometimes frozen in ice. So a very simple life. But yet every day, Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra were decorated with the most beautiful, fresh, fragrant flowers, even in the winter, imported from Hawaii. And whatever money was there for the community, they would get beautiful crowns of jewels and gold, and they had so many nice dresses of silks and embroideries. And I can tell you honestly, the only sense gratification of the community was seeing how beautiful the deities were enjoying. There was nothing else. For some time I was pujari.
Radha Vrindavanath living on this mountain. You had to go up a mountain of almost knee-deep mud. 3 miles.
Yes?
And then there was a 150-year-old beaten-up farmhouse with holes in the walls. And there was no heat in the summer. I mean, no heat in the winter. And I remember my father wanted to visit. So he came to Main Farm. He said, I want to meet my son, Radhanath Das. They said, well, he's been ordered as pujari. He's never allowed to leave that mountain for the rest of his life. He said, he can't come down here to see me? They said, no, not possible. So can I go up to see him? He was an old man. They said, you have no boots. You'll never get up that road. So they gave him a ride on an ox cart. Not a road, just going through mud and rocks and up. And finally, he reached the top. I was the only one up there. Everyone else was somewhere else doing seva in another part of the community. It was almost winter. There was no leaves on the tree. It was freezing cold. First thing he says when he meets me is, I have to use the toilet. So I gave him a shovel, and I gave him an old can full of water. And I said, you have to climb down this mountain, dig a hole. Now, for you in India, this is not such a shocking thing. But for an upper middle class American man who drives a Cadillac, this is very unusual. He said, I'll just hold it in till I get to the Pittsburgh airport. Did you say something I didn't? Huh?
Exactly.
Very good. So, then it was time for lunch. And we, all there is sitting on a hard, ice-cold floor. And then I give him some Mahaprasad, and it's all cold. And he said, do you have any spoons or forks? I said, only the Didi gets spoons and forks. Nobody else is allowed to use spoons and forks. So he never ate with his hands. It was very strange. And then he asked, where do you people stay? You just spoiled your whole reputation. Pandarinath has exposed you. Just translate. Where was I?
Where do you stay?
So there was a place called the Pig Pen. Because previous to the devotees moving, it was a farmhouse, and that section was for keeping pigs. And it really looked like a pig pen. Just some logs stacked up, and then it was like an earthen floor. I said, this is where we sleep, on this floor. He said, what do you call this place? I said, it's called the pig pen. He said, I don't have to ask any more questions. And then he said, son, what do you do all day? And I said, I'll show you. And I brought him before the deities. Beautiful deities. Jeweled crowns. And wonderful silken robes. And fragrant sweet flowers. And beautiful, beautiful decorations. And they were smiling so nicely. And I was so proud. I said, I serve them. And my father said, after all the education and all the training I gave you, You're a grown man, and all you do is play with dolls? I said, they're not dolls, they're deities. And I tried to tell him, this is the Supreme Lord Krishna and Sri Radharani, his pleasure potency. He was really, really trying to understand. And then as he was leaving, we were waiting for the ox cart to come back. And he had a flight to catch, and he was still holding in his stool and urines. So finally, the ox cart did not come. Instead, there was some horses driving the manure wagon. Manure wagon is a steel wagon that you put horse manure to put in the fields. The person said that the ox cart broke down and got stuck in the mud, so I brought this instead. So I said, dear Father, I'm really sorry I couldn't have done more for you. And he looked at me and cried. He said, what could you have done? There's nothing here. So in this way, in those days, the only happiness of the devotees that there was, the only sense gratification, was greeting the deities. When the curtains would open, everyone would just be in so much anticipation and anxiety to see what the deities are wearing, how they're looking, and just gazing upon the beautiful form of Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So that day, Srila Prabhupada was looking and congratulating the community for the wonderful service they were doing. But then he became very grave and warned us. He said, there are two paths on the path of bhakti. He said, they are like two rails on a railway line. One is Pancharatra Ki Vidhi, and the other is Bhagavad Dharma. Pancharatra Ki Vidhi is the rules and regulations that one must follow to worship the deities. And now you are worshipping Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra with so much love and devotion. But the other line of this track is Bhagavad Dharma, hearing and chanting. Then Prabhupada became very strong. He said, Bhagavad Dharma means Sravanam Kirtanam Vishno. Not just Sravanam Kirtanam. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishno. It must be directly about Krishna. We must hear and chant. There must be regular hearing and reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And we must learn to discuss these subjects amongst each other. And we must become very much attached to the chanting of the holy name. Otherwise, if you do not develop the taste for hearing and chanting, the day will come when you will say, why has my Guru Maharaj left me with the burden of serving these deities? The life of Krishna consciousness is devotees learning to come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And deity worship is a wonderful way to become very, very much attached to serving the personality of Godhead. But it is only meaningful when there is Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Dharma Shvanushtata Pungshang Vishvakshena Katashiyat Notpadiye Dyatiratim Srami Evahi Kevalam. Whatever occupation, whatever endeavors we make in our life, they only have value if they increase our taste to hear and chant about Krishna. And anything we do, if it is not increasing our taste for hearing and chanting, srameva hi kevalam, it is a useless waste of time. Sarinbatam sukata krishna punja sravana kirtana hridyanta stohi bhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. That when we develop a taste for hearing about Krishna, Krishna is very pleased within our heart. We have no power to overcome our anartas, lust, envy, pride, greed, anger, and illusion. These enemies are all powerful. But when Krishna sees that we're really trying to develop that taste for hearing and chanting His glories, then from within the heart, He annihilates all of these unwanted enemies. And Krishna is all powerful. When He was only a few days old, He destroyed the great demon Putana. Shushushroshadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syanmahatsevayavi Prapunya Tirutana Sevanat. Srimad Bhagavatam declares the means by which we develop this taste for hearing and chanting is to serve the great souls. Mahatsevam, service to the great. While we're on that subject, the Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the Mahapurana. It was written by Vedavyas, who is called upon as Mahamuni. And those, the only way to attain perfection is to follow in the footsteps of those who know the Bhagavatam. And they are called the Mahajans. And the best type of all prasad is the prasad that has been touched by the lips of the Lord directly, Mahaprasad. And food from the plates of the Vaishnavas is Maha, Mahaprasad. And of all mantras, the greatest is the Maha Mantra. And of all rastras, we are now situated in Maharashtra. And the spiritual center of all Maharashtra is Pandharapur. So we are very fortunate to be here today. Srila Prabhupada went to London. The first large Radha Krishna deities he ever installed in ISKCON. And he named them Radha Londoneshwara. It's not exactly a full Sanskrit name. But Prabhupada wanted people to understand that Krishna is the Lord of London. And then in Paris, he named the deities Radha Paris Ishwara. He said that in Paris, it is famous all over the world for beautiful girls. And men are very eager to find these beautiful girls. He said, so Krishna has come here to find the most beautiful girl in all of France, Srimati Radharani. So Radha Parisishwar. So who can question Lokanath Swami Maharaj for naming these beautiful deities Radha Pandarina? Certainly Krishna is the Lord of Pandharapur, and Srimati Radharani is the eternal consort of Krishna. Pandharapur has such a wonderful history. We were discussing yesterday how so many of the greatest acharyas in history took so much trouble to come here. In Kali Yuga, as it progresses, people become very, spoiled. We think that we've taken so much trouble coming by bus or by train or by car. Some of us are complaining, what kind of place is this Pandharapur? There's not even an airport close by. It's very nice, very nice. But all the great acharyas, they walked here. Even Krishna walked here. We know the story of Pundalik. Pundalik was very nicely serving his parents, who were devotees of the Lord. In fact, he was on his way on a pilgrimage to some holy place, and on his way he saw two ladies sweeping the streets and talking about their service to their parents. So he was thinking, actually, that's what the Lord really wants me to do. So he came back, and he was doing seva. And Krishna came all the way from Dwarka. Now, Lokanath Swami Maharaj has an internal explanation to add to this, which he may speak tomorrow. So, Krishna walks from Dwarka just to come here. And he's waiting for Pundalik. He calls over him. Pundalik comes, "Oh yes, Krishna, you have come. But I'm doing service to your devotees. Please stand on this brick." So he stood waiting on brick for many days. And we see Panduranga's face is so absolutely blissful, just appreciating his devotee who has understood that the way to please him is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. This was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spirit. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Das Anudas. And Srila Prabhupada explains on several occasions in his books that the highest benediction that the greatest souls beg the Lord to give is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Just the other day we were reading a purport from Srimad Bhagavatam where Prabhupada explains that a real devotee feels him or herself unfit to ask for anything beyond this. Kolavecha Sridhar was offered any benediction. Servant of the servant of the servant. Dhruva Maharaj was offered any benediction. Prataparuja was offered any benediction. He was massaging Lord Chaitanya's feet in disguise. Lord Chaitanya said, "Who are you? You are giving me so much nectar," as he was reciting the Gopi Gita. Now, that's a pretty difficult situation for most of us. He's in disguise. Many occasions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him. He said, "He's a king. He's abominable. He's like poison. I will never see him." And now with the blessings of Vaishnavas, he's in disguise massaging the Lord's feet and speaking to him. The Lord's embracing him. "You are giving me so much nectar. Who are you?" What would you say? You can't lie to the Lord. He spoke the truth. He said, "I am the obedient servant of the servant of your servants, and my only aspiration in life is to be the servant of the servant of your servants." And Prabhupada explains, this is the highest benediction a person can ask for. Thakur Haridas was offered any benediction during Mahaprakash Leela. What did he ask for? He's the Namacharya. He's the person who's teaching the whole world how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, what consciousness we should be in. Haridas said, "There's one benediction I've been longing for in my heart. It's my only desire." He said, "In every birth I may take, let me get the remnants from the plates of your devotees. Even if I have to be a dog or insect, let it be near your devotees so I can get their prasad." And then he became ashamed. He said, "Lord, I'm unfit to ask for something so exalted as this." Trinadapi sunechina taror ibasihishu. Amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. That is why Haridas could chant 300,000 names a day, and every name was giving great bliss to Krishna. Because his aspiration, his humility, was to be the servant of the servant of the servant. So Panduranga is here to glorify that principle. Shankaracharya, he walked all the way from Sringariga Math, which is long distance away, by foot. And here, although on the order of the Lord he preached all Mayavad philosophy, he was actually Vaishnava Anamyata Shambhu. He's Shiva expansion, greatest Vaishnav. His Ishtadev was Narasimhadev. His deity is still there at Joshimath. He established the worship of Vishnu in Badrik Ashram. And here he worshipped Vitthaldev with great love. And here, in his expression of love for the Supreme Person, he wrote, the Pandurang Astakam. Eight beautiful prayers glorifying the form of Vitthaladev. In Bhakti Ratnakar, actually before that, we find Madhvacharya. He had eight sannyasis that he made the leaders of his eight mats, the Ashta mats. And each one he gave a particular deity, which was the Ishtadev of that mat. And I know at least one, I think more than one, Pejawar mat, the deity that Madhva personally gave to the original Pejawar mat Swami was the deity of Vitthaldev. And to this day, 850 years later, the Pejawar mat Swami, wherever he goes in the world, he takes the deity of Vitthaldev to worship. Bhakti Ratnakar describes Lord Nityananda Prabhu's coming to Pandharapur. Just close to where we are sitting today, he was living in the house of a Brahmin. This Brahmin was a very pure-hearted devotee. He told Nityananda Prabhu that my Gurudev is coming. When his Guru Maharaj arrived, Nityananda Prabhu went into hiding. His spiritual master's name was Lakshmipati Tirtha, one of the great acharyas of Madhva's line. One night, as Lakshmipati Tirtha was resting, he had an extraordinary dream. Lord Sri Balaram appeared before him. He had a beautiful complexion like a spring cloud, lotus-like eyes, which were red with the intoxication of love. He held his plow over his shoulder. His beautiful white complexion was decorated with blue turban and a dazzling blue dhoti, wild flower garland around his neck. Lakshmipati Tirtha, in the dream, fell down at his feet and surrendered his life. Balaramji said, in the morning, a young boy will come to you. You should give him initiation with this mantra. The next morning, as soon as Lakshmipati Tirtha woke up, Dhyananda Prabhu comes in and offers his Dandavat Pranam, begs him, please give me initiation. So Lakshmipati Tirtha gives him initiation, diksha, to the holy mantra. And Nityananda Prabhu served him very humble. Lakshmipati Tirtha, Nityananda Prabhu then left. But Lakshmipati Tirtha had another dream. In that dream, Nityananda Prabhu revealed to him that he was Balaram. And Lakshmipati Tirtha went into complete ecstasy. In fact, he didn't tell anyone what he had seen. He practically entered into a state of samadhi that the Supreme Lord Balaram in the form of Nithai has become my disciple. He has accepted my service in this way. Very soon after that, immersed in the thought of Lord Sri Balaram and Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet, Lakshmipati Tirtha left this world to return back home, back to Godhead. That most important historical incident took place here in Pandharapur. And we'll speak one more thing. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his South Indian tour, he came to many places in Maharashtra. It is described directly in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that he worshipped Mahalakshmi in Kolhapur. He worshipped Lord Sri Ram in Nasik, Panchabati. According to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he came to a place called Dwaipayani. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, which is now named Bombay. Of course, since his time, it's been changed to Mumbai. Lord Chaitanya also went to the place of the Krishnabendra River, where he discovered the Krishna Karnamrita. And great Vaishnavas understand that that place is Satara. But the place that is most discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita is his visit to Pandharapur. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this ancient, merciful deity of Vitthal Dev, he danced in ecstasy. And all the people of Pandharapur and all the village people surrounding Pandharapur were coming to the temple to witness his beautiful dance of love. He just drowned the entire atmosphere with Prem Sankirtan. He stayed at the house of a Brahmin. Every day he would bathe in the Chandrabhag River, as did Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and all the other great acharyas. And he would spend so many hours every day just doing Nam Kirtan before Panduranga. He heard that one of the great disciples of Madhavendra Puri was visiting.
Such a holy place.
He went, and there at the house of another Brahmin, he saw the effulgent form of Sri Rangapuri.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so blissful to see a pure Vaishnava. Following the etiquette, he would worship his guru's godbrothers as he worshipped his own guru. He offered his prostrated obeisances before Sri Rangapuri.
And he was so happy to see a godbrother of his, a guru, one who loved his guru, and one who was situated in pure devotion.
Lord Chaitanya was displaying symptoms of ecstasy to see a Vaishnav. When Sri Rangapuri saw him, he said, "Who are you? You must have some connection with Madhavendra Puri, otherwise how could you have such ecstasies as you do?"
Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, I am disciple of Ishwarapuri." They embraced and literally bathed each other with the tears of their affection. And what do you think they did?
Machchita madgata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. Mahaprabhu came in the role of a devotee to teach what is a devotee supposed to do.
He sat and spoke to Sri Rangapuri about Krishna for 5 to 7 days in great transcendental happiness. After these 5 to 7 days, Sri Rangapuri inquired, "Where do you come from before you took sannyas?" Lord Gauranga said, "I come from Navadweep."
"Ha ha," Sri Rangapuri said, "many years ago when I was serving my Gurudev Madhavendra Puri, we went to Navadweep. I want to tell you about this. We went to Navadweep.
We stayed at the house of the most glorious Brahmin. His name was Jagannath Mishra.
Was the very embodiment of devotion.
And let me tell you something about his wife, Sri Sachi Devi. She was like the mother of the universe. Pure devotional service personified. And she treated every sadhu as her own beloved child.
Every day she cooked for us. And everything she prepared, her devotion made it sweeter than nectar. Oh, this happened many long years ago. And today I remember the sabji she prepared with banana flowers."
And I will tell you something else about this divine couple. They had a son. His name was Vishwaroop.
He was an ocean of all good qualities. He conquered the hearts of anyone who met him.
But when he was very young, when he learned that his parents were arranging for his marriage,
he was so attached to just hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and the association of devotees, he wanted no part of it. Without saying anything to anyone, he left that place and took sannyas and adopted the name Shankararanya.
He traveled to all the holy places throughout India and ultimately came here to Pandharpur. It was here he decided to remain his whole life. We can understand Vishwarup, of all holy places, came here to stay. Bathe in the holy nectarine current of the Chandrabhag River, and every day to worship the beautiful, merciful form of Vitthildev. It was here that Vishwarup spent his whole life, and it was here in Pandharpur that he entered Mahasamadhi and departed back for the spiritual world. Now we know that Vishwarup was an expansion of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Hearing this story, Lord Chaitanya informed Sri Rangapuri that Sachi Mata is my mother and Vishwarup is my brother. Sri Rangapuri became too much ecstatic to hear this. And in this way, after 5 to 7 days of just exchanging their hearts, appreciation of Krishna's glories, they departed with great difficulty. One went to Dwarka, and one went toward another holy place. So as it was explained this morning, Lord Pandaranga has a very, very special spirit of showing mercy to even the most fallen. Tens and millions of people come every year to this temple, sometimes standing in line for 20, 30, 40 hours. And every person that comes can place their head on Panduranga's lotus feet. Of all deities in the world, his lotus feet are supremely accessible. Without discrimination, who was rich or who was poor, he was educated and who was uneducated. Anyone who simply has the willingness to come, he bestows such mercy. So we are so very, very grateful that His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj has inspired this project. He is Maharashtrian from nearby village. Panduranga is his family deity. And His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who established deities in practically every major city on the earth of Sri Radha and Krishna. That mercy of Srila Prabhupada has infiltrated Lokanath Swami Maharaj's heart. And although he travels all over the world doing Harinam Kirtan and preaching Srimad Bhagavat, it was a dream that Maharaj had for many years to share the mercy of his beloved Lord Vitthildev with the whole world. So this beautiful temple that has been, it's a simple temple, but it's wonderful. We will see, it will attract people from all over the world, not only to see Panduranga, but to understand supreme gift that Srila Prabhupada has given to humanity. Entrance into the loving service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna through following the pure teachings of the Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, and chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada made things very simple. Prabhupada said the whole purpose of having temples is to give people the opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Prabhupada explained there's two types of pure devotees. One is those who have just absolutely no desires in their hearts except the service of Radha and Krishna. But also those who are sincerely following the teachings of the spiritual master with the aspiration for pure devotional service, Prabhupada said they are also pure devotees.
Prabhupada said to his devotees, you are all pure devotees.
As long as we're following the teachings of Guru and Gauranga with that aspiration. So Prabhupada established temples so that people could come to learn how to associate with devotees. And Prabhupada explains that we are preaching movement. And he said, the goal of all of our preaching is to induce people to sincerely take to the chanting of the holy name.
Yes, Prabhupada wanted us to distribute his books profusely throughout the world.
And he wanted us to establish beautiful temples with wonderful deity worship. And so many other wonderful projects. Why? To give people the understanding of the great value of the association of devotees and the prime benediction for all humanity, the chanting of the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So on this very auspicious occasion, I wish to offer my deepest gratitude to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, by whose causeless mercy is our only qualification. And I'd like to thank His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj for taking Prabhupada's mission as his life and soul, and thus developing this beautiful center. And to His Grace, Sanak Sanatan Prabhu, who has worked so very, very hard. Not an easy thing for someone from a very advanced technological maha country like Germany. When I went to Germany, I understood this is a place of many germs. I don't know how you translate that. But from that place, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has planted a very special soul, Sanak Sanatan.
Coming from such a very advanced country like that and spending his life in Pandharpur is very special.
He has extraordinary devotion. And he has worked very hard. And Govinda Bhakta Prabhu, I'm very proud of our Govinda Bhakta Prabhu. I really hope and pray that he makes his life and soul satisfying the heart of Lokanath Swami Maharaj and the Vaishnava. And to all the other devotees who have helped with this wonderful project, we offer our deepest gratitude and our profound thanks to everyone who has come to encourage this project by your wonderful enthusiasm. I thank you very much.